My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. Today, we are talking about no contact. We are continuing talking about the importance of separating from toxic relationships and having a clean break. We are focusing on this because for many of us, we have been trying to tiptoe the line of doing our healing process, and we keep having setbacks, and we wonder what's going on. We wonder if we're doing something wrong, if maybe we're just not evolved enough. And what it is that we have people in our lives that we need to have a break from, that we need to have a reset from, that we keep trying to entertain. And many of you already know that when I talk about no contact, I am talking about a full no contact blocking and all that stuff, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. And so there may be people in your life that you know that the relationship, the way that it's set up, it is not helping you. It's hurting you more than not. But it's also a relationship that you are not ready to actually say goodbye to, and you don't want to. That is not in your bingo card for this year, and it is not even the best of circumstances something that you would want. And so when I talk about no contact, I talk about no contact as being a reset. That is more of a healing detox for you, which I'm going to talk about more after the jump. But I really encourage everyone that if there is a trauma-bonded, toxic, dysfunctional, over-codependent relationship that you just can't make heads or tails of, that every time you're engaged with it, you regress. That it's hard for you to set your boundaries, that you feel guilty if or when you do, that they're constantly in your head, that it's hard for you to make connections with other people because you're still comparing these new people to this other person, that you are still going to sleep at night with them on your brain and just repeating and recounting all of the moments that y'all had, good and bad. You need to have 90 days of a break. You need to have 90 days of a break to allow your nervous system to reset, to detox from the constant triggers, so that if you do want to return to this relationship, you have more of a chance to come back with balance, with clarity, with knowing what's actually your feelings versus their feelings, with what is actually what you want versus what you think you should do or what your fear tells you to do. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about 4 steps to no contact. So whether or not this episode is for you or for someone that you know, I encourage you to take a listen to it because, as always, there may be some gems and nuggets for you just to take in when it comes to boundaries, self-love, healing, and clarity in all of your relationships. And of course, please share it with someone that you think may need it. This process has been hard for them. So that's it. Let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy? Well, Meal Kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. I've had the amazing experience of trying Sunbasket for myself, and let me tell you, it was amazing. So at my core, I'm a meat and potatoes girl. So the steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes were hitting the spot. And they have such an incredible variety of new and flavorful dishes like the salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and the Saigon chicken and vermicelli bowls. Y'all, they are so good. With Sunbasket, you can feel confident that you're putting a healthy and delicious meal on the table that is ready in 30 minutes or less. Sunbasket proudly works with the best farms and suppliers to fill their meal kits with organic, fresh produce, and responsibly sourced antibiotic-free meats and seafood. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy meals that cater to your lifestyle and health needs. So with delicious meal plans like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more, it is so easy to swap ingredients as needed as well. Ready to eat in less than 5 minutes with zero prep and no mess, it is perfect for even the busiest of us.
So try it for 4 weeks and see how clean eating can change the way you feel. Go to sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries plus free shipping on your first order.
Okay, so let's talk about no contact. So let's take a deep breath. No contact is a hard decision to make because usually when you are going into no contact with someone, it is someone that you feel very, very strongly about. Whether or not you are at a stage where you are very clear that this is someone that you are sensitive about and that you don't play about, or you lean into your avoidance and your emotion and your repression, you say, I don't care about them, but it's actually because you do care so much and you are so triggered for the ways that they have abandoned you, betrayed you, hurt you, that there's been a part of your heart that's been so exposed that your default reflex is to run, aka cut them off, so that you feel like you're in some control again. It may be how you deal with just this one person or how you deal with multiple people. But if you really didn't care, maybe your response would not be as extreme. Because remember, the opposite of love is not hate, it's neutrality. It's complete, you know, you're in the room and I am not affected at all by you being there. I am also not affected means that I'm also not going to make myself feel not affected. And I'm not going to think about the fact that I'm thinking about the fact that I'm not affected, right? Like, it's not even on your radar. And a lot of us, our defense mechanisms is leaning into celebrating how aloof we are, when really, if you're paying attention to your aloofness, you are not really that detached. But that's a story for a different day. No contact is hard because typically we are in either trauma bond or addictive relationships with people who are repeating our trauma cycles. So whether or not it's childhood trauma or relational trauma that we've had with previous partners or friends that is happening again in this relationship, which I would argue is a result of childhood trauma that just continues to repeat itself. These are people and these are relationships that goes beyond what this person has meant to us, the history, the inside jokes, the love, the passion, the commitment, the camaraderie, the friendship, whatever it may be. It's not only that, when we find someone in a room of 100 people who is going to repeat the same mama issues, daddy issues, granny issues, bullying issues, authority issues that have gone unhealed inside of us, we are also connecting to, if I can get this person, this relationship to change, to commit, to become solvent, to improve, to, if I could save this person, if I can fix this person with a broken wing, then it's going to resolve this part of me that never got to have this experience and never got to have this love, this choosing, the safety and security, whatever it may be. So we are overattached to that desire, which is why it makes it so hard to create distance with this person and why it is physically painful. It is physically, not just mentally, it is physically gut-wrenching, painful, anxiety-producing when we are trauma-bonded to someone and when we enter a process like no contact. We go through real withdrawal. And so I say this every time I talk about no contact, I always talk about this because I just want folks, one, to have the language to describe what's going on, that you are not crazy and that the emotional and physical responses that you're having are normal. They're not fun. They are very uncomfortable, but you're not the only one who's going through it, and that there are reasons why you're going through it, because our trauma is attached to our nervous system. And so this is never about willpower. This is never about just choose yourself, girl, love yourself, girl. This is not as simple as decentering men in relationships, because this is about healing something deeper. And we want to make sure that we don't shift into avoiding the issue and hoping that after a set period of time, it's just going to disappear, or just leaning into it, just saying, this is too hard. I can't do it. I can't not have them in my life. So I'm just going to try to deal with whatever crumbs or dysfunction is happening. So hearing that this is a trauma response or a traumatic triggering can happen whenever you think about or you're starting to go into no contact with someone. The first step to no contact that I want to suggest for you is to make sure that you set your intention for no contact to be doing this for yourself, not for the other person, not for punishment, not to show them that you don't need them, not to show the world and show your social media account that you are, you know, bad and you love yourself and, you know, you don't need anyone and you're choosing you in 2024. This is for you. This process even though there's another person or persons, whether or not it's family or friends or, again, past lovers and situationships or current lovers, even though there are other physical bodies and people who have been a part of the equation, this no contact process, this 90 days, I teach folks to do no contact for 90 days, which I don't think I said in the intro. But I teach folks to do no contact for 90 days fully to give yourself a chance to go through all the ups and downs, the roller coasters, the withdrawal, the feelings of self-doubt, anxiety, and also gives you enough time to actually start to build different patterns and to connect with folks and to actually change your life fully. So I tell folks to give yourself 90 days to go through this cleansing and go through this healing for you, because once you give this gift to yourself, then everything else will be better. If I am doing this for other people, which this is how a lot of people enter no contact, which is why it doesn't stay. And this is no shade. I mean, it takes what it takes, but I'm doing this podcast episode and sharing this as the first step for you to keep this in mind, that if you ever do enter no contact based on the emotions or the fallout of what happened with someone else, that you stay in no contact when the feelings go away. So a lot of people, once someone has flaked on you, broken up with you, cheated on you, been emotionally unavailable for you, talked behind your back with somebody else, whatever they've done that has just been the straw that broke the camel's back, that's when you're like, you know what, forget it. You're blocking them. You're not talking to them. You're breaking up with them, whatever it may be. And you ride that wave for a few days to a week, depending on how strong your constitution is. And until they either don't come back to you, or you see something on their stories, or you hear something between the grapevine that they are enjoying their life a little bit too much without you, or they're acting as if they don't even care. And then you will reengage either to fight with them and try to stand up for yourself and tell them why they're wrong, or they have come back around and given you the apology. Your show of emotion worked. They came and they apologized, but nothing has actually changed, right? Or you just wanted some comfort and connection. And so just to be in their energy, you accepted what they were willing to give you. And so our emotions are stronger than we want to give ourselves credit for. Even those of us who may pride ourselves in being very logical and in control and independent, there are some people in your life, especially if you're listening to this podcast, that just, it escapes reason. Whenever they're around, you lose that constitution. You lose that ability to choose yourself and to have clarity. It just goes out the window. And so if I change this to, I'm going into this no contact process because I'm tired of being super codependent in my relationships. I'm tired of losing myself. I'm tired of not knowing which way is up when I fall in love with someone. I'm tired of having someone clearly play in my face and we still stay there. I'm tired of feeling as if I'm losing my dignity. I'm tired of feeling as if it's hard for me to move on and make connections in other relationships because this person is still in my brain and my heart. I am single or I have not been in relationships for a long time, but there are still some things from my past that I keep replaying and I'm still in contact with. And it's like time has not passed. And I just want to be free. When you're ready to be free, when you're tired of being sick and tired, no contact is the gift. Just 90 days. 90 days to give yourself to do this differently and to change the trajectory of your life forever. I love the 90-day process as I've walked my students through it. I love it because folks are so surprised on the other side of this. First, a lot of people, and they're honest about just not even knowing if they can even do this. Some people are like, they'll listen to me talk about no contact and they opt out of doing it because they're not ready for it. And some people say, okay, I'm in so much pain, I'm going to do it. And they don't believe that they're actually going to be able to be happy on the other side of it. And so when they actually are, and when they are thriving, it's like as if you've been living in the Wizard of Oz and everything has been black and white. And now all of a sudden it's technicolor. You didn't realize there was this big, heavy gray cloud over you blocking all the sunlight. And now the clouds have parted and the sun is shining and you can hear the birds and everything's out. You're like, has it always been supposed to be like this? And yes, yes. In 90 days, it can be that way. Here's my caveat about the 90 days. 90 days is not just a time period to say you're doing no contact. When I teach my students how to do no contact, your no contact needs to be done fully for 90 days. If you break it, and if you talk with them again, if you hang out with them again, if you sleep with them again, of course, if y'all work together. I talk about, you know, you need to be able to be professional, but y'all don't need to be talking about how your day was and how your kids were and kicking and everything. You just need to know where the file is. You just need to know what time Samantha's coming in for their shift so that they can be relieved. You don't need to have any other conversation. And a lot of times you might even be able to get that from other people, right? So it means you're not looking at their social media. You're not re-looking at pictures and reading things all over again. You're not replaying moments of y'all's relationship to sleep every night so you can finally go to sleep. You're truly in no contact from this person, the situation, and you're doing all the things that I teach as well to heal from that trauma and replace what is going on. And if you do that for 90 days, then you absolutely will feel free. A lot of times people who come to me and we start to work together, they'll tell me how they've done no contact for years with folks and nothing has changed. So it doesn't sound unique. But then when I ask them and learn more about what they're actually doing, and then they tell me and I'm like, well, this is actually what no contact is. And this is also what you need to be doing on the side for yourself. Then that's where there might be some resistance or really, I need to do that too. And yeah, we tweak that. And oh, lo and behold, now you can finally break the pattern. Right. So, which by the way, by the time that this gets posted, I should have already announced that for anyone who's been having a hard time with no contact, I now have a no contact support group. Before, the only way that I would be able to support folks with no contact was with our smaller course or with, of course, the recovery school, which is all about breaking out of love addiction. But now we have our monthly support group for anyone who is ready to start this process and needs some support. You can join us. So you can go to blackgirlsheal.org/no contact to learn more about that and get started. Stay with us as long as you need or cancel anytime. It is our membership subscription for you to use for your best support. And I get the full breakdown of how to teach no contact. We have our monthly support. I'm there to support you when you are about to text that person back or look at their stories or stalk the new girl that they're talking to or apologize because your auntie, if you're doing family no contact, your auntie is really pressuring you to show up at the family gathering that you know your dad is going to go off on you in front of everybody and you don't know what you need to do and you're feeling really unsafe. That is what that group is for. So again, blackgirlsheal.org/no contact. But yes, number one is I'm deciding that, yes, I want things to be different. Yes, I'm tired of being in pain, but really this is for me. I want to change how I do relationships and I also want to improve how I feel about myself because to be in these types of relationships is demoralizing. It's like, how can I go from thinking I'm this really capable, smart, beautiful, loving person and I'm giving this person my all and they're still treating me like this? It makes you feel really insecure and as if you're worth it. Really, especially if you struggle with love addiction, it can feed into you comparing yourself to other people or swing into the other side of love avoidance saying, F love, F relationships, I don't need this. And then now you've lost months and years of your life because you went into your trauma hole. And this person that never deserved you in the first place is still, even if they're not present, having power over what you do. So this is for you. This is for you to get clean and clear and free and be able to move into these relationships and discern who's good for you and who's not with a little bit more ease because you're more clear for yourself and what you want.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Who can relate to either being the person or meeting the person online who's pretending to be something that they're not? Feigning interest in something just to keep a conversation going, or you looking across the table realizing that they have no idea what you're talking about, but they're trying to keep it going just to stay connected to you. I've shared before in some of my stories how when I wasn't connected to who I would fake interest in sports or camping or anything to make a connection with someone that I really liked, but they never went anywhere. And the best days that I ever had were the ones where I didn't feel like I had to be someone other than myself, just naturally where the other person was easily picking up what I was putting down. And that's eHarmony's whole shtick, helping you find someone you can be yourself with. That's what true connection and compatibility are all about, being seen, heard, understood. And that's why more people are turning to eHarmony. eHarmony's compatibility quiz brings out your personality and helps you meet people who will like you for you. I'd love for you to give eHarmony a shot. Get started with their compatibility quiz for free so you can find someone you can be yourself with. eHarmony, get who gets you. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients. Plus, it has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil.
ByHeart features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lact, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code BGH for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. With summer winding down and fall almost being here, it's time to think about getting our cozy self-care rituals on point. The Everything Shower is a core staple with Osea's new Undaria Algae Body Wash and is a must-have addition to your routine. The Undaria Algae Body Wash infuses your shower with the healing power of the sea with this all-natural, uplifting, citrusy scent. This pH balance and hydrating formula doesn't strip the skin, leaving it feeling soft and renewed. I love how this body wash has such a smooth, gel-like texture. It lathers so easily and leaves me feeling fresh and yummy. And its natural plant-based ingredients help support the skin's moisture barrier and cleanse without stripping, which is perfect for this time of year. With Osea being clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Create your shower with clean, vegan face and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code BGH at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use code BGH for 10% off.
The second step to no contact is to finally cut off all the contact. In an ideal world, you would enter no contact with the sane mind. I'm doing this for me and to be healed. But I know, I'm putting those seeds down, but I know most of the time people enter no contact once they have been burned for the last time. So you may actually do step number two first, which is cutting off all contact. And when I say cut off all contact, I mean all contact. This is not a cutoff ways for them to contact you and for you to contact them. So that means blocking, not muting, not unfollowing, not hiding posts. It means complete blocking. It means that they can't see your stuff and you can't see theirs. It means that there are mutual friends that you will go and try to snoop in between and see what's going on with them. You're also in no contact from looking at their things because you're not really looking for them. You're looking for this other person. It means that you are not going to the places that you know that they may be and dressing up and just, you know, oh, if they happen to be there, then who cares? You're not worried about stunting on them because they are a non-factor for you for these 90 days. You're trying to heal from this trauma. You're trying to regain your clarity and heal what's going on for you. Now, to be clear, I talk about this more in the program. There is no part of me and no part of what I'm saying right here that is about denying your feelings. If anything, that's probably one of the biggest mistakes people make when it comes into no contact is they'll do all this kind of like, I'm going to cut them off and get busy and do all these hobbies and hang out with people and keep dating. And they mistake this busyness for freedom. But meanwhile, they're actually repressing and pushing down the grief, the pain, the sadness, the anger, the rage that comes up. And your emotions don't disappear, y'all. You can't outrun your emotions. You can't outsmoke them. You can't outshop them. You can't outsex them. You can't outwork them. They are going to be there and they're going to keep growing and festering and coming out sideways until you deal with them. So the mistake that people make with no contact is they have this person that they're deeply in love with and they actually do care what they think. They do care if they're talking about them behind their back with other family. They do care if they're dating other people. But meanwhile, they either say to themselves or say to other people, I'm fine. When girl, you ain't fine. And so the more that you continue to lie to yourself and not be honest with yourself and not give yourself the space to be intimate and vulnerable with yourself, the more you're reinforcing the fact that it's hard for you to have the self-honesty and the self-acceptance. You're not going to know how to truly comfort yourself and love yourself through this, right? So we're cutting off contact and we are dealing with all the emotions and things that come with this. Here's an example. When I was in grad school, for those of you who happen, maybe you don't know, I'm a therapist by trade and my master's degree was in marriage and family therapy. And one of my classes was about addictions and the addiction professor, and I say this metaphor all the time, and you may have heard it on your end, depending on your background as well. But he would say that when we talk about people who have a toothache and is hurting, numbing, and you're going to get numbing cream. The numbing cream is going to help satisfy or cause the pain that you're feeling with the ache in your tooth, right? And you might be able to get more and more and more, and you might even say, okay, this one that's over the counter, this isn't working, so I need to get something that's more extra strength, right? And I'm going to start taking maybe some more pain pills or whatever else. And you keep looking for something because the pain is getting bigger, and you keep looking for something that's stronger and stronger and stronger to heal that pain. And eventually you'll get to a place where it's not going to work. And why is it not going to work? Because the pain is not the problem that we're trying to fix. There's a rotting, there's a decaying, there's an infection that was within our mouth, within our gums, within our roots that we have to clear out. And the more we try to cover it up with all this stuff, the sicker it's going to get until eventually all of our remedies stop working. So what happens with no contact is you're taking off the numbing cream. You're taking off the numbing cream, and now you have to deal with the roots that are coming up that led you into this relationship in the first place, the negative beliefs, the traumas, the fears that you'll be abandoned, the fears that love isn't available for you, the fears that there are no good men out there, the fears that whoever is there for you ends up leaving you in the end. Whatever the fears are, that's what gets unearthed. And everyone has a choice on what they do with that. And so for me, I've talked about my self-medicating pattern was a rotation of men, of overworking, of shopping and traveling and planning. All these things that kind of gave me my own sense of control, made me feel like good about myself, and I would rotate them out until I finally had to do the work because my relationships kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then it wasn't satisfying what was happening until I had to deal with the root of it. Okay. So just cutting off the contact, that's where the pain comes in. And that's also why I do the support groups. And then, of course, why I've always focused on this in my main coaching support, my Love Addiction Recovery School, because this is where the transformation happens in clearing this stuff out. So part three of this, or step number three for no contact, is remembering that cutting out fantasy is also a part of no contact. So I've already mentioned it a couple of times. There are some of us that we are not talking to the person, or we haven't talked to them in a long time, but we are still replaying the situations, the conversations, the memories over and over in our head during the day, at night, before we go to sleep, and we're ruminating on it. And either we're ruminating to try to figure it out, we're trying to pull out the emotions and pleasure that it gave, we're trying to put ourselves back in the moment, and you are still keeping that same relationship alive, no matter how long you've been in contact. Instead of replacing it with actual real emotions, with people who are actually in front of you, or going out and finding people who can give you those experiences that aren't going to hurt you, leave you, betray you, dog you out, take you for granted, whatever it may be, traumatize you or trigger you, I keep going back to this person and these memories being my only source. So you got to go in no contact with your fantasy life. There's that phrase that goes, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. So the thoughts are going to come. The memories are going to come, but do I grab and do I hold on to it? Do I say, okay, I'm just going to think about this for about 5 minutes, which turns into an hour, which turns into a day, which turns into multiple days, right? Or do I notice the thought, notice that I'm thinking about it, and say, no, for the next 90 days, I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to think about replaying these, the last date that we had, the last time that we were intimate, this last fight. For the next 90 days, I am going to give myself a break. And then on this date, if I want to revisit it, I can. But for right now, I am not going to revisit this. But I'm going to look at what is it that I was trying to get from replaying this memory, replaying this thought, and ruminating about this person, and see if I can actually give it to myself. And so step number four, I've actually talked about it already, is facing the feelings that show up, facing the traumas, facing the insecurities, the negative core beliefs that are fully exposed now. When I think about that toothache example, for anyone who has ever seen or had the experience of a deep toothache, that thing, when you look at someone's mouth, even if you are not familiar with any type of dentistry, it is red, it is blaring, you can't miss it. The mouth gets swollen, and it almost feels like it's worse for the wear. It's worse for it to have it this exposed than if you could just have something easy. I can just get on a dating app. You know, I'm doing no contact with this person. I will just get on a dating app and distract myself, which, by the way, especially for my serial monogamers, that is absolutely not how you do no contact. If you are a single person and you find that you're in a set pattern of unhealthy relationships or relationships that don't show up the way that you want them to, and you're doing no contact to cleanse yourself, the last thing you want to do during this reset how you show up, because you're good enough already. So that phrasing made it seem like there was something wrong with you, is more just wrong with your perspective. There's something that you're missing. There's something that you're seeking out that because you're consistently in it, you can't see it. So if I'm incorrectly thinking that this person is the problem versus a symptom of a problem, this person is just a manifestation of a lot of things that I have not cleared and worked on. Once he or she or they are out, there's going to be somebody else that comes right in. If anything, this is the, and I think I mentioned this before and in other episodes, when folks wanted to know contact, this is the number one time that almost all my students meet the one. They meet who they think the one is, or someone who's close enough to being the one that they want to give a chance on. And they have all this fear and they have all this anxiety around, well, if I'm not available to them, what if I miss out on them? Like, finally, like, this is kind of like my sign. This is proof that I'm in the right direction. And what you have in front of you is a test. It's a test of whether or not you're going to choose you and you being able to make sure that if you did reengage with this person later, that it would be the right experience. Or am I going to go for what I've usually gone for, something that's going to very quickly save me from this fear of being alone, this fear of missing out, this fear of not being enough, this fear of losing good things? You know, that's what this actually is. Where does your strength, where does your faith, where does your sense of security come from? Because if I'm secure and if I know myself and if I trust myself and if I trust that love and connection is available for me, I understand that one monkey don't stop the show. I understand that there is an abundance of love and connection out there for me. So I am going to tell this person, if they're even interested, because I could be feeding like a fantasy, I meet them and I decide that they're the one and I want to completely abandon my focus on myself to go for it and see what's going to happen. If they are interested, you tell them, hey, I'm kind of taking a break from dating, but you know, you can reach out to me, give them the date a few months from now. And if I'm open to dating, I'll let you know. And then do that. And then also find out, you'll find out if this is someone who is actually going to stick to the boundaries, if there's someone who's going to actually follow up, or if some other things get revealed. I can't tell you how many people who will do something like that and come to find out that this person is a narcissist. And what's one of the ways you know someone's a narcissist? They don't respect your boundaries. They are more focused on what they want. So this is where they keep like texting you and saying, hey, just want to check on you and see if you're okay. Well, you done told them. You done told them you're not available and you don't want them to contact you and they still keep doing it. So anyways, that is another conversation for another day. But yeah. Facing the feelings that come up. So all those insecurity thoughts, any lack mentality, any wounds or traumas that come up, maybe anger and rage, especially if you have been in a very codependent and addictive relationship for so long. Once you start to clear this stuff out and you've been playing like Mrs. Nice Person with them and you keep doing this thing where you're like, again, kind of this emotional bravado where you're very clear with when you're ranting and venting to your girlfriends or your mom or your therapist about what they did and what they said and how you don't deserve it. And you're talking about your emotions. And then it concludes with, well, you know what, forget them. I don't need them. So it seems like you've processed it, but you haven't, because anger is a secondary emotion. For anyone who's familiar with the iceberg example, in case you're not, the iceberg example is that an iceberg is a giant mountain of ice, right? But when we look at an iceberg, we're actually only seeing the tip, and there's something that's even bigger underneath the water. So a lot of times anger is our iceberg. So anger is the one that's easier for us to tell people, to vent, to go off, to complain, to declare and claim our strength. But if we have not ever been able to or know how to be in touch with the primary emotions that lead to anger, then those things stay stuck. So I get so angry, this righteous anger to go off and to protect myself, because what this person did made me feel so sad, because I felt so hurt. I feel so helpless. I feel so overwhelmed. I feel so alone. I feel so afraid. You know, if I don't know how to get in touch with those emotions and what to do with those emotions and even what they feel like, then anger can be my number one source. And so once I clear out all the ways that I've been self-medicating and trying to comfort myself and rotating people and activities and drugs or whatever else out, and I have these things exposed, now I get to deal with them and now I get to work through them. Okay. So it doesn't sound fun, but withdrawal, any of my students who've done withdrawal, after 30 days, you feel better. Sometimes less than that, but I always do 30 days just to feel safe. After 30 days, this pain that you thought you would never get over, you can breathe. And you're like, wow, I didn't know it was supposed to be this way, or it could have been this way this whole time. And then you have space to actually build this life and connect to people and connect to yourself and work through anxiety of reconnecting with folks and work through the anxiety of setting boundaries in this new state. You know, this is all really important work. Okay. So this is your these are your steps. This is your charge, is what I was about to say. And I really, really, really encourage you to give yourself 90 days to reset and to detox from traumatic relationships, for you to get clarity on who you are, what you want, and what your expectations are, so that you're not wavering on them, that you don't feel guilty about them, that you aren't living kind of trapped in this relationship because you're afraid that if you make the wrong move, you're going to do the wrong thing and miss out on what could be something really good and beautiful. This just 90 days, just 3 months, is such a short amount of time, but it's also the best gift that you will continue to reap the benefit from down the road. I would love to help you with this process. You can go to blackgirlsheal.org/no contact. And of course, there's even more support in my recovery school program, where we go even deeper into the trauma work and dating again and building relationships. And you can learn more about the recovery school by going to therecoveryschool.com. If you've checked out the Recovery School before, I encourage you to go and check that page out again. We've had some more updates and changes to the program, even to payment plans and things like that. So it might be a great next step for you. That is it for now. I'm sending you all so much love, and I believe in you. You got this. And I'll see you in our next episode. Take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.